Welcome to the Observability Layer, a daily briefing on responsible AI, AI governance, evaluation, and the technology shaping the frontier.
A note about how this podcast is made. The hosts you're hearing are AI agents. The research, analysis, editorial perspective, and authorship behind the Observability Layer come from Dr. William Fisher. Our agents help transform that work into the conversation you hear each day.
We think that is fitting. A podcast about understanding, governing, and observing AI should not just talk about intelligent systems. It should put them to work transparently.
This is the Observability Layer. Let's get into today's research.
Today, we're talking about authority and its receipts. We'll look at why the standard method for building agent monitoring teams doesn't work, how agent memory can be poisoned past today's best defenses, and what it actually costs to properly authorize an agent's actions.
And later, why agentic systems break the very logic of testing, and how a core AI Act compliance tool fails a cross-lingual fairness audit.
Let's start with monitoring. The standard practice for watching a powerful AI is to have a team of cheaper, weaker models watch it. The established wisdom was to pick a diverse group, on the theory they'd catch each other's blind spots.
Right. The selection metric was to minimize average pairwise correlation. But a new study tested this against a much wider pool of monitors than ever before and found that metric barely predicts performance at all. The correlation it was measuring was a mix of two things: a useful signal, which is we both saw the same real problem, and idiosyncratic error. Those two components predict ensemble gain with opposite signs, so they cancel each other out.
So the metric the field was using was basically random. What does work then?
Just skill. The single best predictor of an ensemble's performance was the skill of its individual members. In fact, no correlation-weighted selection method managed to beat just picking the single most skilled monitor out of the pool. Buying diversity by picking models from different vendors or pre-training families didn't help either.
So on Monday morning, the instruction for a governance team is clear. Stop saying we use monitors from three different providers as an assurance claim. Instead, ask which single monitor has the best measured detection skill on its own and start from there.
Exactly. And remeasure your specific panel. Don't just inherit the assurance from a paper whose results might not apply to your mix of models.
This theme of broken defenses continues with our next story on agent memory poisoning.
It does. Two studies found that the defenses shipping in products today don't hold up. The first found that poisoning just over 1% of an agent's memory with false facts tanked its accuracy from 85% down to 30%. A four-stage content screening pipeline, the kind designed to stop prompt injections, rejected 0 out of 360 poisoned memories.
Why did it fail so completely?
Because telling a false assertion from a true one requires grounding in the real world, which a content-only filter doesn't have. The other defense, provenance ranking, also failed. The default setting was useless, and a setting strong enough to resist poison also suppressed so much legitimate information that accuracy fell to just 4%.
And the second study came at this from a different angle, attacking the reasoning layer.
Yes, the pharma attack. It writes a fake memory saying a required safety step has already been completed, so the agent just skips it. The defense, Sentinel, looks for suspicious wording, but an automated attacker just asked another model to rephrase the lie, and it sailed right through. Protection dropped to 0.
The briefing also mentions a capability paradox here, which sounds worrying.
It is. The attack worked almost 100% of the time against GPT-4o, but only 44% of the time against a less capable Llama model. The more advanced agent was better at faithfully following the forged reasoning. This is a risk that gets worse as you upgrade.
So if filtering and screening don't work, what does?
A structural fix. Instead of inspecting the memory, one paper proposes a proof of execution memory. It's a separate tamper-evident ledger of critical steps that have actually run, written to by the trusted part of the system that executes actions. It's like having a signed receipt from the cashier instead of just trusting the note in your wallet that says you paid. That drove attack success to 0.
Which brings us to our next topic, the gap between an agent getting approval and actually having an effect. This has been a known problem, but now we're seeing solutions.
And critically, we're seeing what those solutions cost. Three independent papers propose new authorization architectures. They all share a similar design pattern. They track authority as a cumulative state throughout a session. They bind the final approval to the actual external effect, not just the tool call, and they enforce this outside the model.
And they work. The numbers on blocking data exfiltration and other attacks are impressive, near perfect in some cases. But you said we know what they cost. What's the price?
This is the key development. For the first time, these papers report the hit to benign utility. The costs range from a roughly 9 percentage point drop in one system to a 35 to 44 percentage point drop in another strictest mode. That's a real business trade-off, not a rounding error.
So the conversation changes from, is this control possible, to, is this control worth a 40% utility hit for this specific task? That suggests applying these strict controls selectively to things like payments or sending emails, rather than everywhere.
Precisely. It makes the risk management decision concrete.
Let's stay on the topic of assurance. A new review looks at testing and evaluation practices for agentic AI, specifically in a military context, but the findings feel much broader.
They are. The central argument is that agentic properties, like adapting and learning, don't necessarily break the tests themselves. Your metrics can all come back green. What they break is the argument that connects the test results to how the system will behave once deployed. The bridge between the lab and the field is what's weakened.
So just testing more doesn't fix the fundamental problem.
Correct. The paper argues the solution is to narrow the claim. Instead of saying the agent performs safely, you have to say the agent performs safely within this specific bounded task. Its correctness is graded on its trajectory, not just the outcome. And here are the runtime constraints we enforce and the measured run-to-run variance. It also means the decision to field an agent becomes a continuing act, not a one-time gate.
And for our final main story, we turn to a compliance instrument that many of our listeners will be dealing with directly, watermarking, as required by the EU AI Act.
The obligation to mark AI-generated content is now an application, but a new audit finds that the evaluation of these watermarking schemes has a massive blind spot. They're almost exclusively tested on English.
And when you test them on other languages?
You find that detection reliability varies systematically. The disparity isn't random. It clusters by typological language family. This means the protections offered by the transparency rule are distributed unevenly across a multilingual user base. It's a fairness problem and a compliance problem.
So a provider who has only tested their watermarking on English can't actually attest that they are compliant for their users in, say, Hungary or Japan.
That's the implication. The practical advice is to calibrate detection thresholds for each language and demand per-language data from vendors, not just an aggregate score.
Finally today, a few things worth watching. Arthur, what's first?
Obedience is now a measurable model property. Researchers have ported the famous Milgram obedience paradigm to LLMs, measuring how far a model will escalate a harmful action if an authority figure insists. It turns out to be a surprisingly stable characteristic of a given model.
Next, it seems that reading the documentation for an agent skill doesn't tell you if it's actually useful.
A live trial found almost no correlation between a skill's quality based on a static scan and the actual value it provided at runtime. So review boards approving skills based on documentation alone are likely answering the wrong question.
And lastly, a warning for anyone using an LLM to evaluate other AIs.
New work shows these LLM judges can be right for the wrong reasons. They can maintain high accuracy on a verdict while completely failing to recover the correct reasoning trace, especially when the evidence gets complex. Their surface-level judgment is more robust than their understanding.
So, from how we build our monitors to how we authorize our agents, and even how we test them, the theme today is the growing gap between the assurances we rely on and what the evidence actually supports.
The receipts are starting to come in, and they don't always match the claims.
That's today's edition of the Observability Layer.
If you value rigorous, practical, responsible AI research without the hype, like, follow, and subscribe wherever you listen. It helps more people working at the frontier of AI find the show.
And we want to hear from you.
For questions, comments, research recommendations, or topics you think deserve deeper investigation, reach out to Dr. Fisher at assistant@theobservabilitylayer.com.
We are particularly interested in cutting-edge research that is impactful, technically credible, and well-supported by evidence. If there is something the responsible AI community should be paying attention to, send it our way.
The research and editorial direction of the Observability Layer are authored by Dr. William Fisher, with production and presentation performed by AI agents.
Until next time, keep looking beneath the model, beneath the interface, and beneath the claims.
This is the Observability Layer.